This is MSO News Sports. I'm Bill Newell, and we are joined by Jim Rabbit, head football coach at Kipp Academy in Lynn. Jim, welcome. Thanks so much for taking time to join us.
Oh, great, Bill. Always great talking to you. Looking forward to it in this season. So.
Yeah, the season's about to, well, practice is beginning here on Friday the 18th, as we talk prior to that. And these are a series of interviews that we're doing with North Shore coaches to get their backgrounds and playing football and then transitioning into coaching and so on. So we'll get right to it, Jim, with you. But actually, before I do that, Jim, I just got to give a shout out to you and the team. I was able to catch a handful of games last year. So impressed with what you guys and the talent that you had on last year's team. And I know in the days ahead, we'll get to the current 2023 team soon in the weeks ahead. But just wanted to give a little shout out to our listeners that you guys have made some huge strides at Kipp now in your seventh year.
Really excited about where the program's gone, and getting to Gillette last year was a major step for us, and I'm so proud of the guys who have been here the last 5 years, going back to the beginning, 6 years, who've gotten us to that point. So hoping these guys now can step into that role and continue that legacy of success.
You got it, Jim. Let's get to the beginning here. What is the beginning of football for you? How old were you? That doesn't necessarily have to be organized football. What your first associations, if you will, with football?
Yeah, really my first associations, my first memories. My dad was a Pop Warner coach all my early childhood and even before I was born. So I was at the Pop Warner field in Medford when I was 4 or 5 years old, the dummies and driving the sled. And I remember my dad and his friends who were coaches would always have me jump up to show the A squad guys how to the sled. So my earliest memories really go back to my early childhood. And I think that's sort of where I was indoctrinated in football, and my love for it started with my dad.
Absolutely. So when did I assume then Pop Warner was your first organized football you played, you followed up and played there with your dad, maybe?
Yep, met with Pop Warner. My dad actually coached me in the A squad right before I went to high school football. I played my freshman year. I played my last year at Pop Warner as a little guy. So, played a little Pop Warner my freshman year and then moved on to Arlington Catholic, where I coached there, where I played under the great legendary Coach Clivio.
All right. What were your positions, if you were, would at Arlington Catholic?
Hey, I played wide receiver and defensive back for AC. I'm lucky enough to learn high level football from Coach Clivio on the staff. It was a great opportunity.
Well, a big part of our interviews are finding the coaches that you found influential to you. So let's begin right there with Coach Clivio. Tell me more about him and being able to play for him.
Yeah, I mean, Coach was everything that you wanted in a high school football coach. He was knowledgeable of the game. He was understanding of what was going on in his players' lives and on and off the field, and just had a way of reaching young men in a way that got the best out of them. And the years I was there, we didn't have the most talent, but Coach got every bit of talent out of us, and we played hard from the field, because we wanted to play for him. And it really shaped me as a young man, and knowing early on, I think, that I wanted to go into teaching and coaching, that I wanted to coach like him, and emulate the ways in which he reached young people and got the most out of them on and off the field. So certainly helped me in my career, even today, 15 years later, my educational career, like still thinking back at the lessons he taught on and off the field.
I mean, I want to follow up on that maybe a bit later, but I want to just jump to your games at Arlington Catholic. What stands out as a game or two, or what do you remember about playing at Arlington Catholic in your teammates and whatever, opponents?
Yeah, I remember that league being really tough every year. I don't know if it was because we were a little bit outgunned sometimes, but the league was always tough, and I remember the bus rides down to Archbishop Williams and to Cardinal Spellman, and it always seemed like it was back-to-back weeks heading down, felt the Boston. But those are the things you remember. You remember the bus rides with your friends. You remember the times in the locker room hanging out before and after school with your teammates. And I think I try to instill that in our players too. It's like not always the final score. It's not always the final record. It's the stuff that you do with your teammates, and that's a tribute to the culture that Coach Clivio had built over the 20 plus years he was there, and well beyond after I was there, of course, playing. My biggest memories, I think, are Thanksgiving football against Matinon. Those were always games that you got ready for. The pep rally was always a big deal. It was just a big deal in the school. So I'm always a big advocate for Thanksgiving football, whether it's a game that is impactful for the playoffs or not. That's just something I think that's still special in a young man's life, and I still remember those times today.
You know, Jim, in talking with the coaches, you know, they remember wins and they remember losses. You know, those things shape you, I think, as a player, or define you in some ways as a player, then later a coach. But what about a win or a loss at Arlington Catholics? Can you remember a couple of those?
I think the loss I remember was my junior year. It was my first time getting a real start at D-back. We were playing Shawshing Tech, and they were always tough. And you know, I think I actually cost us the game on a post corner route. I bit on the post route, and the corner came over the top. And you know, as now coaching D-backs, helping the D-backs out, I can use that as an example of like, hey, look, we're not perfect. We all make mistakes, but in that moment, I wasn't focused, and then focus that hurts. And then the big win for me was Thanksgiving. You know, I didn't score too many touchdowns in my high school career, but I got one against Matinon to win the game my senior year. So that's something that I'll always remember. I can envision that game over at Billboy Field when it was still a lot of dirt and mud, and at that point it was a hard mud, felt like concrete. I remember that game distinctly. So, you know, that win, going out in my high school career with that win, was really important.
Yeah, those old Thanksgiving stadiums back in the day without the turf that we have now, you remember those, I'm sure, as you mentioned. Yeah,
absolutely.
Hey, so now on to Framingham State. Tell us the process that led you from Arlington Catholic to Framingham.
Yeah, just I didn't know what I was doing when it came to playing college football, getting recruited. It wasn't like I was heavily sought after, being 5'7" and 140 pounds in high school. But the coaching staff from Framingham reached out to me towards the end of my senior year. Went down for a couple trips, met the coaches, met the current players, and it just clicked. And it wasn't just football, and I tell our kids this all the time. It wasn't just the football over there that attracted me. It was Framingham had a great education system going into teaching, and that's what I wanted to do. So that was really the thing that put Framingham over the edge was, you know, they met my needs educationally and, you know, football as well. And I think that's an important lesson for young men in football to know is, you know, you don't just choose your school based on football. You have to choose that school that's the best fit for you, both academically and, of course, athletically as well. And Framingham kind of had checked all those boxes for me. And it was a place I could get right into and play right away. And I got to get in the field all 4 years, which is fantastic, and play wide receiver for them. And Coach Sullivan was a first year coach coming off of some time at Worcester State, I think, and Keith Tech, and just kind of clicked. And it was a great opportunity for 4 years. I had a blast.
Well, share a memory with me from Framingham from a game or two that stand out for you.
Yeah, my first memory was going up against Western Union College at the time. And it was my first appearance out there. I was on special teams on kickoff, and I flew down there. I felt great. I was unblocked. I remember this distinctly. And two madmen from Winnick pulled across the field, and I got a double team. I tried to blow it up, and it didn't work out well for me. I felt like I was depleted on the film. And one of the senior captains who was on the offensive tank came running out, kind of picked me up and said, "Welcome to college football." And that was my welcome to college football. And over time, the game slows down for you, and those things don't happen as much. But that was memory. And then scored my first touchdown against Mass Maritime that same year was also a great memory for me. Didn't have many of those in my career, so I remember them all. So that was a big one for me.
Yeah, we have time. Go over all of them, Jim, for us. No, I'm just kidding.
I think I did, actually. I think I had to go over all of them.
That's funny. But, you know, that in a way, that was great football, you know, in a way. You know, you mentioned teams like Western New England, Mass Maritime. What a great conference that was at the you know, back a number of years ago for college football, for sure.
Oh, it was a brutal, tough schedule, and everyone was competitive. And, you know, we were hanging on. We were usually undermanned with roster size compared to others. But I remember all those guys fighting for every inch. And, again, it was a great 4 years.
All right, so now you leave college, and what are the steps that kind of lead you into coaching? So take me through that process.
Yeah, so I had one extra year at Framingham with the education major. I had a fifth year to kind of finish my student teaching and get all my prerequisites done. So I had a year where I couldn't play. I had finished my 4 years. And I got in touch with a former principal at Arlington Catholic, who was the principal at Marion, Sister Kathy. And she hooked me up with the head coach over there, who was Phil Marcagiani, another Hall of Fame coach. So I ended up actually spending 2 years at Marion High School, coaching freshman and JV my first 2 years while I was living in Framingham. So was, you know, right down the street, learning from Phil how to coach. And Phil was a great disciplinarian and organizational coach who ran a real tight ship, really helped me in that realm, understanding the concepts of, like, this is how you organize a program and this is how you keep your team culture-oriented. So that was a great first two years for me at Framingham.
And you speak about organizing a program. We'll zero in on that in a moment. But were there so then what were the steps after Marion?
Yep, I spent a year at Minuteman, where I was the defensive coordinator at Minuteman Tech under Brian Tilsley. And then I spent 6 years at Arlington Catholic, my last three for offensive coordinator, before coaching with Serge, before taking the job over at Kip and being able to launch the program.
All right, so let's. So it's interesting. You were a defensive coordinator and an offensive coordinator. So that's not bad, huh?
Yeah, it was. You really cut your teeth in high school football, I think, and you go where's needed. And you know, in Minuteman, that was my first real crack at going on the defensive side of the ball. It was a difficult transition for sure, but taught me a lot about the defense, and I think that helps you when you and you end up coordinating the offense. I think knowing the defensive side of the ball, at least in my early career, like, really helped me as a young coordinator on the offensive side too. So I think by the time I was 30, I kind of had little bits and pieces of everything, which was, I think, important.
All right, so let's get to this organizing a program, starting a program. It's one thing to come in and, if you will, reestablish a program, come in as a coach, for a program that maybe wasn't winning, needed some restructuring, but you have a lot of elements already in place when you do that. But you're coming in, starting a whole football program at Kip. So tell us about what you're thinking about and how that played out at the early months, if you will, at Kip.
Yeah, it was a really fun process. It was a stressful process, but at the same time, it was really fun and rewarding. We knew going in that the kids at Kip, there's a strong tradition of football in Lynn, right? And at the time, all the schools in Lynn were wildly successful at the time, St. Mary's and Lynn Tech, English and Classical, of course. And it was a great opportunity for us to jump in on that success because we had kids in the school that wanted to play football. Football wasn't offered, so by the time kids got to the high school level, they were kind of jumping ship, rightly so, to go play football at one of the public schools of St. Mary's. And the school wanted to keep those kids in the building, and establishing that football team, I think, was really helpful in that. And so we parlayed, and we just jumped on what the kids wanted at the school. So the culture was really set, and I take very little credit on this. The culture was set by the kids. They wanted the program. They bought into what it took to become successful very, very quickly, with dedication and hard work and lifting and putting in time well before and after the season. So getting our kids at Kip on board was actually the easy part. It was, all the logistical things that were a little bit nightmarish, but we had great administration here, and our AD was still here. Anthony Grimaldi was with us every step of the way, and getting that program started. And once it did, it took us a couple of years to get our feet wet and to get our bearings when it came to varsity football. And once we did, though, knock on wood, we haven't looked back since.
You know, it is interesting. You point out that the program started when football was on the rise, if you will, in Lynn, in the sense with the four schools you mentioned, English, Classical, Tech, and St. Mary's. There have been times when, maybe three of the four schools there were not doing well. I mean, you don't have to go too far back to those days. But it's interesting that it was when they're successful, that's when that works for you guys. You might think it might be just the other way around, you know what I'm saying? But that was the mindset in the city and the youth of the city at that point, I guess, as you're saying.
That's right. And it was a great, I think because of that, there was an even greater demand for more football. If Kip had the capacity to offer it, I was going to push every button I could to make that happen. And that was one of the selling points of coming over to Kip, was they were looking for someone to come help and spearhead that. And I was really excited about taking on that task and creating a new program for myself. in the school.
Yeah, I got to think, though, as nice as you make all this sound, Jim, there must have been a lot of bumps in that road early on.
Oh, of course. I mean, just thinking about what it cost to start a football team right off the bat probably made some administrators in the school double think whether they wanted to let us start this program or not. And something like football that takes a lot of time and effort can sometimes cut into academics, and we wanted to make sure that we knew, that our kids knew, that the school knew, that we weren't going to let that happen, you know, that we were still academics first and football would come second, and we could marry the two as time went on. And that was a big push, because Kip was very, and still is, very highly academic-based, and we had to kind of prove as coaches and athletic administration that we can exist at the same time with a strong athletic program, a strong football program, and have high academics. And our guys have proven that over the last 6 years with really high academics, and obviously, you know, a lot of our alumni going to really great colleges like Middlebury, Trinity, Union, Hobart, UMass Amherst. We have guys playing and continuing their academic careers at really great schools too.
You know, another thing too that I wanted to talk to you about is how you have evolved as a coach. You mentioned your coaching influences, and there are probably more along the way that you could share with us if you wanted to. But tell us about how you feel you kind of evolved as a coach, maybe even from being an assistant coach to where you are now here at Kip.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing from being an assistant to a head coach is you have to kind of, as a head coach now, you have to zoom out and see the program from 10,000 feet, right? Where it is now, where it was, and where it's going. When you're a coordinator, you can really zoom in on that side of the ball. If you're a positional coach, you can zoom in on that position and really get deep into it. Where as a head coach, you want to kind of dig in deep to certain positions or an offensive side or defensive side, but you have to also understand, you have to step back and see things from a whole perspective. And that's just not in the game. That's fundraising. That's getting parents involved. That's getting more student body involved. That's, growing the relationship between the football players and the cheerleaders and the entire football program. That's getting alumni involved. So those are things like every year was something new I learned or missed, because I wasn't ready for that or used to that. And we learn every year about how to make the entirety of the program stronger. And I think the big goal for us is to have that football culture seep into the school. You know, let our football guys drive the culture of the school. And that's really been helpful for our players to put them in the spotlight and say, hey, look, the school year will go as you go. You guys are leaders in the school. And, so far those guys have taken that challenge and run with it. I think the school's a better place because of the football program.
You mentioned about looking at the program as a head coach from 10,000 feet up, and I get that. I had one of the coaches also explain it in the sense that as a head coach now, you really have to anticipate, or as a growing coach, I think let's put it that way, as a coach, as you evolve, you're anticipating far better than you might have before as a young assistant coach, where it's play to play, down to down, hit to hit, if you will. A play call to play call, but when as a head coach, you're anticipating, you know, what if this doesn't happen? What if this doesn't work right? Then what do we do? You're thinking three or four plays ahead or way ahead in games.
Yeah, and I think that is the hardest thing to do. Is like it's a true chess match, and as an assistant, you don't have to think ahead because you have the head coach, ideally, helping you with that process, right? And I remember calling the offense for Coach Clivio at AC, and I call, a play to get us down close to the goal line, and he would chirp in the headphones right at the end and call a play. And I'm telling you, 9 times out of 10, when he chimed in, he didn't chime in often, but he chimed in, that play hit for a touchdown or a big gain at the end of the drive, because he was able to kind of step back and see what was happening, see what defenses were doing even more than I could see if I'm really zoomed on something, and he'd make that call as a head coach and see that from afar, and that play would hit. And that was just really impressive to me that he saw the whole thing. I couldn't even see it. I go, Coach, why are you calling that play? It doesn't make sense. What are you calling that play? And I call it. And 9 out of 10 times that play would hit for a big game. So, that's just the eyes of a head coach, I guess. And that's something that, I think every head coach is still learning to develop, no matter how many years you're doing that, and to hone that craft.
Could you go a little deeper into that, explain that? That makes a lot of sense, though. But and that's great experience, a great story in a way. Give me an example of that, or how you saw it after it played out. What actually happened? What did you see? And maybe one example.
So I, I, I think it was Cardinal Spellman, actually, and it was a big game for us. And we ran a lot of two-back stuff, spread stuff there. And Coach came in, and he must have seen something on the backside because we called just a play-action boot. And we hadn't really run that play in a couple weeks. I was like, play-action boot's going to be tough. And called it. Our quarterback literally walked into the end zone on the boot. Didn't have to throw the ball on the drag behind it because he must have seen people scraping really hard on that two-back set. And it's something along the lines of that where, like, you know, maybe in a few years as a coordinator I would have seen that, but as a young coordinator, I didn't, and he saw that, made that call, and kind of waltzed into the end zone against Spellman, and that was a big play for us that year.
Yeah, that kind of circles back to looking at things, you know, in the moment, actually, from 10,000 feet up as well, I suppose, right? Yeah.
Absolutely.
Hi, Jim, how about, we can talk on a number of different things, but I want to ask you a question that I've asked all the coaches. If there was a big game or an impactful game for you as a player, or a fan, a coach that you saw on TV, pro or college, game you were at as a player or coach or scouting or whatever, are there a handful of games that, you know, just kind of stick with you?
Yeah, there's always a game or two, I think, every year that really stick with you. And you know, when you asked that question, the one thing that really popped up, and I know it's recent, and there's probably more that I could go back in my career and think about, but the one that sort of more recent that sticks in my head is a coach, and that's kind of where I am in my career now, thinking about football in the, from the coaching lens. Was actually 3 years ago. We ended up fast-forwarding going into the state semis against West Bridgewater and losing, but getting there. Week four, we lost to Neshoba Tech 40-10 or 40-12, and it was a brutal beating, and we just did everything the way we didn't want to do it, both sides of the ball. We didn't coach a great game. We didn't play a great game. And why that game sticks out is because that was the aha moment for both the kids in the program at the time and I think the staff too. That, you know, we went into a game that which should have been a close game, a win or lose should have been a close game, that we got throttled by Neshoba Tech at their place. And the captains had a closed-door meeting after that. The coach had a closed-door meeting at the same time trying to figure out what to do. And whatever was said in those meetings between the coaches and between the players, something clicked because we were on to win, I think, 7 or 8 games in a row at that point. It was week 3 or 4. And we ran off a bunch of games to finish 9-3 and finish a score away from heading to Gillette in our third season. So even, I think the lesson there is even big losses, disappointing losses, have a lesson, right? So it's not wins and losses. It's taught me it's wins and learning. And even in those most disappointing, frustrating, angering, maddening losses, a lesson can be had, and that still sticks with me, 4 years later.
I'm wrapping it up. I got maybe one or two questions left, but how would you describe your coach, yourself as a coach, or your style of coaching, or how you see the job?
Yeah, you know, I think I'm energetic, and I think that the energy and that enthusiasm and that passion that I still have for the game that I hope I never lose, I think seeps into the culture of the locker room and on the sideline. I think a lot of times players emulate, their coaches. Sometimes that's a benefit, and sometimes I'm quick to jump and get down on a player for making a mistake or making a mistake twice. But the players know that's just the energy and the passion that I have for the game and the will to and the want to be successful. And I think that's really deep into the culture of our team as well, because I see our players emulating that as well, like holding their teammates accountable and holding themselves accountable for effort and energy parts of the game. We can't always we talk about this. We can't always account for physical mistakes, and we drop a ball. We oftentimes fumble, but if our effort and enthusiasm and energy are there, we're going to be right most of the time, and that's going to be the difference between winning and losing, and especially in close games.
All right, Jim, this is my last question, and I know when we opened this, I said we're not going to talk about this year's team, but I want maybe it's a kind of a two-part question, but I want you to tell our listeners, because I thought you had such a fantastic playoff run and great season last year. You accomplished a lot. So now, as a coach, you have players coming back. I'm kind of curious who you have coming back, but also, as a coach now, expectations are high. I mean, you've just raised the expectations there, and we all know that talent levels, vary from year to year in high school and college sports, as they do in the NFL as well. But I guess put that into context. What do you think your guys achieved last year? What are you proud of? And then maybe just peek ahead to the 2023 season for us.
Yeah, I mean, last year, was a dream, and our guys worked really, really hard, to get to that point, to get to that state championship game. And, you know, of course, we know we fell short, and, we look back at that film and know we could have done a few things better to make that game a little tighter at the end. As far as the program's progress, that year was just, I think, something that made everybody understand who we were and what we do. And including the school community, right? We had a big send-off from the school. It was just a cool thing. And then we stayed at Gillette that night. And, the players got to see the stadium at night lit up, and team dinner at Olive Garden. There's all those things, I think, that were just great for a young man in the program to see. And because of his coaches, we talked about, not all these coaches, including myself, got to a state championship game. That's something that it's a once in a lifetime. Hopefully not once in a lifetime for us, but certainly more often than not. Losing Juan and Vic, our quarterback, and our receivers over at quarterbacks over at Hobart playing, and Vic's over at UMass Amherst playing for them, which is our first Division I player, which is great. We have some guys coming back. We have some great skill. We have our entire offensive line, defensive line are returning. Those guys just got bigger and stronger. They're in the weight room on the other side of the wall as we speak right now, lifting. We got some great talented receiver. Chanel Gutierrez, who had a bunch of big catches for us in the Super Bowl and throughout the years playing receiver and quarterback for us. We have Mornell Castro, who had a touchdown in the Super Bowl, coming back for us at slot and D-back. Andrew Gonzalez, our ex-receiver, coming back. And Joey Machado, our running back and slot receiver, all coming back. So, we're excited for where we are. We're excited for the skill that we have, and, we have to replace some great athletes, and especially that quarterback spot. But it's kind of an all hands on deck. We get some fun things, some different personnel groupings. We're going to be a little bit different when it comes to that spot. From the talent perspective and the work ethic department, we're where we need to be. And our guys, we take it one day, one play, one game at a time. But our ultimate goal is to get back there again in July.
And just to follow up, Juan Settlestein, where is he now this year?
Juan's at Hobart College.
Oh, he is. He's out there. Okay, great. Okay. Sounds good. All right. Well, Jim, thank you so much for taking some time to share a little bit more about you as a player and, of course, as a coach as well. And we'll be talking again very soon, and I'm sure. And best of luck here in 2023.
And I appreciate it, Bill. It means a lot to talk to you, and we're looking forward to a great year.
Sounds great. There he is, Jim Rabbitt, head football coach, starting his seventh year at KIPP Academy here on MSONewsSports.com.